Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
On it, hammer to deep left. Marquetta knows. Out it goes into the night. Off the bench for Marquetta. And the A's are in front 4-3 on a mammoth home run against Tony Watson. It was worth admiring. Mark took a look. He looked at his dugout. He enjoys the jog around the bases. And the Athletics have a 4-3 lead on his 12th home run of the year.
Vincenzo even described it a little bit. Canna absolutely pimped his home run. You know what? When you put one halfway up the bleachers at AT&T, you're allowed to sort of do that. It was a spectacular shot that he launched easily. What do you know? The A's picked up the first two games at AT&T Park here in the Bay Bridge series. Canna's moonshot was certainly a defining moment in game two. Matt Chapman made a play on a ball. That was a foul ball that literally I would still put in the Gold Glove highlight reel. You had Piscotty going yard yesterday. Do you realize he's got 5 home runs already this month? Meanwhile, the Giants as a team have 6. That is the last in baseball. Series was the first series of the year that actually felt like a little something was riding on it for both of these teams. We keep on saying it's going to be the fork in the road series for one of these teams. And that team right now that looks like it's moving in the right fork in direction is the Oakland Athletics. Now, what will it really matter when it's all said and done? I'm sad to tell you that I do not know. Because as much as I want to just say, you know, this is an interesting young team, it's time to get to know everyone a little bit better and closer, you can't help but take the A's and any success that they have with just a pinch of salt. This isn't me being a hater. This is me being an observer of reality. What a crying shame the state of this franchise truly remains in. How can you, after this many years, still need a stadium, still be dirt cheap, still have an owner that doesn't want to do anything than push money through a major league equation? If you're about to build a new stadium, why did you just build a new office complex in Jack London Square that doesn't make much sense? It really didn't matter if Billy Beans or David Forrest Calls were originating from a construction trailer. They all sound like they're coming from 5-star hotels on the phone. Does not matter. Why wouldn't you want to build the new offices in the new ballpark that's about to be built? Well, maybe it's because my worst fears might be realized one day and that this is all a ruse. It can't be. If it is, shameful. A's fans, you deserve so much better. The amount of better they're willing to give to you. Congratulations, Mount Davis is going to be open for the first time in 13 years in an effort to set a club record. The club will sell tickets to Saturday's game with the Giants for only $10. And for the first time, you can go up top of Mount Davis, sit there. You're going to get access to, $2 hot dogs, $2 nachos. One of the reasons Mount Davis sits empty is because you can't exactly see the entirety of the outfield from all the way up there. But they're going to go ahead and open it up. And good, you know, any opportunity that you have to spend less money going to a Major League Baseball game, especially a Major League Baseball series, which by its nature commands a higher dollar amount, the fact that you get $10 seats being offered, that's good.
It's a great deal.
I'm happy about that. That might be Saturday night. What are you doing on Sunday? How about Monday? How about when it's not the Giants in town? What are you doing to make right by your fans? Then why did you raise parking? with the lowest payroll in all of baseball. Like, there's just all this little... The A's try to win so many little PR wars while conceding the big battle forever and a day, all the time. Damon, I've sat on top of Mount Davis. I was able to see from second base to home base. That's about it. Well, you must have been way up there if you can't even see the outfield. But it's going to be one of those, hey, go, show up, have a good time, sit in the sun, you're outdoors, it's a Bay Bridge series. You're there for atmosphere as much as anything else, I guess.
And you're there. I mean, it'll be fun. And you can't beat $10 a ticket. I mean, you can actually take the whole family and not break the bank.
Sounds good.
With inexpensive concessions. So that works.
At which point do you think the Giants, when this Bay Bridge series picks back up on Friday, at which game will the first, second, or third game in Oakland be the game where Mark Canha gets code redded by who's ever pitching that night for the Giants? Mark Canha was talking about a bat flip that happened, and we're all wondering where we were, who we were with, when it happened, and will we be able to survive? The answer is yes. The reason why Mark Canha, it wasn't even a bat flip as much as it was a mic drop, but it was still decisive. You even heard Vincenzo talk about it a little bit in his call. Well, Canha says, you know, I'm originally from here, and I enjoy this series, and I'm glad to be in it, and I'm glad to have a big moment in it.
I came to this park as a kid a lot. It's just going to be fun to go brag to all my Giants friends and, you know, say that I did that after having a lot of, like, really great childhood memories here, and it's probably my favorite one.
Probably your favorite one. I would imagine it would be your favorite one. You roped it. It was awesome. And so after he said, look, you know, sorry I did that, he changed his tune a little bit, and this is why I like Mark Canha an awful lot today.
People getting offended by bat flips is so silly. It's just like, I'm not sorry. I'm not really sorry. You know, it's part of our game. Everybody does it. If somebody's going to throw at me because of it, I got thrown at in the past this season for bat flipping. I clearly didn't learn my lesson. So, you know, if you're offended by that, I don't care.
There you go. Good job. I agree, Mark. I'm a big fan of, if it offends you, I apologize for nothing. You're soft. Bob Melvin on NBC Sports California.
That's a pretty significant homer, and when it's cold, and I mean, you hope you just get it over the fence, and he hit it more than halfway up. So he's making the most of his opportunity. You know, doesn't start with us, and, you know, puts up the numbers he has now. He hits righties, he hits lefties. He's versatile in the outfield, can play all three, and can play first base too. And it's not easy to pinch hit. We do a fair amount of pinch hitting, but when it's cold and National League scenario like that, it can be tough, and he was ready for it.
So there you go. Two out of three for the A's. They're that much closer to the first ever Bay Bridge trophy.
Yeah.
That's going to be given to the winner this year. So we'll see if they can actually bring it on home. I know that the Giants have brought home more significant trophies in years past, but I guess it all needs to start somewhere. Damon, is an A's fan, I'm really not caring about a stadium. They're on a playoff run. I'll worry about that after the season. Wait to put some negativity on it. Look, I'm not trying to be negative, but I just got some sneaky suspicions that something might be up. Why would you build a satellite headquarters in Jack London Square and not decide to build your headquarters wherever your new ballpark would be? Do you really intend to build a new ballpark? Because I've been hearing noise from Portland. I've been hearing background noise about Portland. And I don't want to be right about this. I want to not worry about these sort of things, but I got to keep worrying about it because the conversation never ends. You know what conversation you don't need to worry about? The one that's done, the one that's been had, the one that's over with. The conversation continues all the time. It's the reason why people are reluctant to buy jerseys and merch and season tickets and show up and listen and consume night in, night out, because baseball is a relationship, and you probably don't want to enter a relationship that you know is doomed to fail right from the get-go. You deserve so much better. If I owned the A's, things would be so much different around here. There's just no other way to say it. I mean, it's just you behave like you care about winning or you don't. I see the A's owner, and I clearly, easily put him in the category of don't care. It's got to be maddening. Absolutely maddening. But hey, $10 tickets for Mount Davis. Fill it up. Maybe if enough $2 hot dogs, nachos, peanuts, and bottled water are sold, maybe they do add another pitcher at the deadline. So show up thirsty, A's fans. Your thirst might be key to adding another pitcher. Time now for our 12K per day national cash contest. It's your chance to win $1,000 just by texting the code word TISSUE, T-I-S-S-U-E. Text TISSUE to 72881. That's TISSUE to 72881. It's a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck to you. A little bit later on this hour, a chance to win really cool tickets to go see the A's and Giants Saturday. We're going to have tickets to give away today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, right up until the Bay Bridge Series gets back on Friday.
Very cool.
Yeah. Who doesn't like free tickets? We're going to have tickets for you coming up in just a little bit. Don't text the word TISSUE to the text line. Listen to my instructions as I give them to you.
Are you going to try to head out to the Coliseum for any of the games this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I think I might pop out there for that Saturday game.
Saturday.
Sounds fun.
Sweet.
Sit up in the...
Go check out Mount Davis.
Yeah, sit up in the press box and eat a lukewarm hot dog, stale bun. Good times. Good times. What really jumps out to me here at the All-Star break, I tell you, I know that there's a lot of hope about, hey, we got two Bay Area teams that fancy themselves contenders. You know, I think you as a fan rooting for these teams fancy themselves contenders maybe a little bit more than they really are. The A's are trying to find their way into the playoffs. The Giants are trying to hang on to a playoff scenario. Both these are noble causes. Both are probably barking up the wrong tree. We talked about this already, and I want to run it past you again. You see, the Giants spend an awful lot of money and don't have an awful lot to show for it. Meanwhile, the Giants have an awful lot to show for a team that they refuse to spend, or the A's do have an awful lot to show for a team that they don't spend an awful lot of money on. To me, I'm not interested in your payroll. I'm not interested in your budget. I'm not interested in how many games you are ahead or behind of anybody in your division. I don't care about where you stand in your own division. I care about run differential. Run differential, I think, tells an awfully big part of the story this time of the year. And if you're not looking at a run differential north of at least 50 runs by this time in the year, I'm going to just have trouble taking you way too seriously at any point in time, no matter what your record says, again, no matter where you are in the standings. Let me tell you who's the biggest fraud in baseball as a division leader. It's the Philadelphia Phillies. They're leading the National League East. They've got a run differential of plus 18. That means you're fraudulent. You want to know what a real run differential for a division leader sounds like? Red Sox, plus 163. Yankees, plus 131. I know they're not a division leader, but they're going to the playoffs. Astros, best in all of baseball, plus 188. They are cream of the crop. And I'm going to tell you, there's a very good chance that your World Series champion will come from that list right there. Red Sox, Yankees, or Astros. If I could bet $100 on the three of them or the rest of the field, I would bet it on them. It'd be a good bet. The Cubs are the best run differential in the National League. They're plus 114. The Dodgers are second best at plus 82. You look at the rest, it ain't impressive. Like the Giants. The Giants are doing a nice job trying to stay in the conversation. Good job, good job, good job. Here's the facts. You're minus 26. Minus 26 is officially going nowhere fast. The Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Brewers, the Cardinals, none of these teams are about to win the World Series. The Oakland A's have been a really pleasant surprise, again, because they've overachieved seemingly at a lot of positions. They're overachieving based on their budget. Ultimately, as great as their lineup is, their pitching concerns are enough to make me go, "Yeah." Oakland A's have a run differential of plus 24. That's it. They're overachieving in spite of the constraints that they place on themselves But that's about it. How difficult must it be to not have to just compete against the Houston Astros, but the budget of your owner himself? Like, who does more to make sure the A's aren't going to win the West? The entirety of the Houston Astros or John Fisher all by himself? It's a frustrating cycle that just does not end. And here we are again with yet another A's ownership group. And there was some really interesting stuff today that our good pal Andy Dolich.
I've got that right here, actually.
Oh, did I? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I passed it to you. I'm looking.
I was checking out that picture of Andy back in the day.
Svelte.
Very, very.
Svelte Andy. You know, A's ownership. Since moving here from Kansas City, the A's been owned by four different entities. Charlie O'Finley, Walter Haas and Company, Steve Schott, Ken Hoffman, and the Lou Wolf, John Fisher ownership group, which we all know that Fisher bought Wolf out in November of 2016. Every single one of these owners, excuse me, has pretty much got the exact same winning percentage. What they did in the postseason is something entirely different, though. Finley won three World Series titles in a row. Haas won a World Series title. Schott and Hoffman, no World Series or American League titles. Fisher, no World Series. They lost an American League championship. But Finley won at 52.1%. Haas at 51.4%. Schott, Hoffman at 54%. Fisher, 50.1%.
Those are all very close.
And they're all over 500. But you either make the investment to have the key players stay in your organization, to have that key at bat when it matters most in the postseason, or you don't. The A's used to draw some massive crowds. There was the goodwill that was squandered through two decades worth of decisions has got to be enough to make you mad as an A's fan. Damon, could you please elaborate on what you've heard about the A's moving to Portland? Here's my elaboration. Portland has more traction right now working towards a major league stadium becoming a reality than the A's do in Oakland. Meanwhile, the Giants are just bizarro. Giants got somebody hurt every single day. They got veterans that they're paying way too much money to underperform. They're basically hedging their entire season now on minor league call-ups and no-names coming through in big moments. The single biggest surprise of the season is the guy that you gave up on after 2016, Pablo Sandoval. Who knew? They got a lot of build-a-bridge guys to get to the back of the bullpen, and then there's no one there to close games, even though they gave a guy $62 million to close games. Something happened in baseball this weekend that rarely happens, if ever. For the first time in 23 years, the St. Louis Cardinals fired their manager. Cardinals fired Mike Matheny, who's only 47 years old, by the way. His reputation, not the best tactician in the room. You could argue that he's a double-switching fool, and I know that plenty of people have argued that in St. Louis. Cardinals have lost six in a row at home. That's not going to buy you a lot of house credit when the heat is on and the heat's been up lately. But here's the thing, they're not awful this season. Fans thinking it's a year where, like, a brilliant guy in the dugout's going to make up for the fact that the Cubs are loaded, that the Brewers have been a big surprise? Like, how is that Matheny's fault? He sure helped the Giants reach the World Series after being tabbed a guy with no experience to replace Tony La Russa. By the way, just replacing Tony La Russa with a guy who's never managed before, you could see that the Cardinals front office was trying to go up for a power grab right there. It's no longer about managing with instinct. It's about managing through the numbers, through the sabermeticians. And look, Matheny, he cracked in 2014 a little bit. He managed the postseason like he had tomorrow's, and you can't do that. That's why Bochy gets so good, because he manages like there's no tomorrow in the postseason. There are no tomorrows in postseason play. They still, in St. Louis, talk about Matheny bringing in Michael Wacha, who hadn't pitched in a month for Game 5 of the NLCS. They're still mad about that and probably should be. But here is the standard of the St. Louis Cardinals. And this is a standard that you wish your franchise had for itself. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Like, this should make you so envious as an A's fan. Giants fans, I know you just got to enjoy three world championships, so we'll worry about your level of envy here. But just listen to this, how different things are in other places where you can just buy a whole bunch of seasons out here of people not putting the pressure on you. Whatever Mike Matheny's shortcomings were, this is a man who has just been fired. Again, he's only 47 years old. That's young. Whatever Matheny's shortcomings were, this is the first guy in major league history to lead his team to four consecutive playoff appearances in his first four seasons as manager. As a matter of fact, Mike Matheny has never had a losing season, including his record of 47-46 the day that he was fired. Can you imagine if that were the standard around here? Basically, the standard in St. Louis is if you're not knocking on the door of a World Series in 5 years, you got to go.
That's done. Wow.
Hey, but I brought you to the playoffs 4 years in a row. That doesn't matter. It's just, it's very interesting what standards are in some places, what standards are in other places. I was sitting in the press box talking about the Bay Bridge series with a whole bunch of guys in the media, and we then turned our attention to, like, what if scenarios? Like, what if really Billy Beane were to leave the Oakland A's and join the Giants? And the consensus was that would never happen because the Giants brass would never want anyone in to take credit for what they've all taken credit for. Like, they wouldn't want Billy's "I've got the way to do it" permeating every single discussion. I think in St. Louis, they would start crucifying fans one at a time every inning if it meant another World Series.
Wow.
Very interesting stuff, man. It's just different places, different styles, different cultures, different sports cultures.
I mean, some teams would be happy with that.
Oh, my God. Playoffs 4 years in a row? As a Cub fan, I have no idea what that looks like.
Right. I mean, that'd be like, okay, we're on a roll. This is good. This is progress. Wow.
Not good enough. How about that? 888-957-9570. The thing that baseball really has going for it right now more than anything else is that second wild card spot. Nothing means more to baseball right now than that second wild card spot. It is the only thing that offers hope to a league that is giving very, very little hope. You got more teams on pace to win 100 games and more teams on pace to lose 100 games than ever before. Our pal Seth Everett joined us today to do a little home run derby. Hey, how are you? He ended up going so fire and brimstone about the concerns Major League Baseball needs to have that it, like, we're alarmed now. What's baseball going to do to get sexier, more fun, more interesting? I really don't know. The second wild card has probably done that more than anything else because it's played, you know, very significant into the hands of the San Francisco Giants. Two of the three times the Giants won the World Series, they made it to the World Series as a wild card. The A's won the wild card in 2001 and 2014. Second wild card implemented back in 2012. And think about it. How many teams would be eliminated right now? You would have no shot at all to sell even the premise of contention without the advent of that second wild card. It's turned out to be huge for baseball. The things that are now working against baseball is sort of the overthinking, the strategic overthinking, the infield shifts that basically render the game slowed to the point where no ball goes in play. You know who we're going to be talking about this with? How about this for a great couple of guests this week? We're going to do the Chronicle Hour.
Oh.
Both Susan Slesser and Bruce Jenkins are going to come in on Wednesday here in studio, and we're going to have a big what's up with the status of Major League Baseball.
That's very cool.
With two of the best and brightest writers that we have in the Bay Area. As a matter of fact, there aren't two names that I read more in this town than Bruce or Susan. So I'm looking forward to that coming up. We're also just popping in this week since it's All-Star Week and we just got a lot of time to chop it up and chew it around. We're going to have Dave Benz stop on by Dave used to work out here for NBC Sports Bay Area. He's now the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but he still summers here in the Bay Area.
Must be nice.
And so Dave is going to stop on by a little bit later. I believe that's tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Wednesday, we got Bruce and Susan coming on by. Mark Spears is going to be coming on by.
Very cool.
A little bit later on this week, we got some good stuff for you. We'll have a Tour de France update for you in just a little bit. We're also going to go ahead and figure out a way to make someone very, very happy during this commercial break. Nick, you ready? You ready to go, buddy? Caller number 10. We're going to make you work for this one. Caller number 10, A's fans. How about this, Giants fans? Who's ever listening? If you want to go to a Bay Bridge series, how would you like to go with two complimentary on-field batting practice passes and two lower-level tickets for Saturday, July 21st game? Caller number 10, 888-957-9570 right now. Nick, caller number 10, get them up, get them in, let me know who they are. Two complimentary on-field batting practice passes, two lower-level tickets for Saturday, July 21st game. That is pretty darn cool. That's what I'm giving away today. We're going to have passes and tickets and cool, unique things to do around the Bay Bridge series given away all week long. So, caller number 10, 888-957-9570. Good luck to you. And when we come on back, any single time your minor league promotion causes a stir, it's officially accomplished its goal. And we will be back to tell you about the Montgomery Biscuits and Millennial Night next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Congratulations to Peter Dazzo. He won the first pair of A's experiences we're giving away to the Bay Bridge series all week. We'll have another chance 5:30 tomorrow. Make sure you keep on listening. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. In about an hour from now, we're going to say hello to Robert Latall, the CEO of Black Sports Online. Always an interesting conversation with him about all the stuff from the world that sometimes slips to the cracks, through the cracks, to maybe they deserve to be in the cracks, but we always enjoy our conversations with Robert. That is coming up a little bit later on. From the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, Damon, I've got two fixes that would instantly make baseball significantly more observable to everyone. Number one, implement a salary cap. We've got 10 franchises in baseball who spend and spend whatever it takes. A level playing field would make it more enjoyable for all the teams. Two, illuminate one ball and one strike from eliminate. One ball and one strike from the pitch count. This will speed up what's going on during an at-bat exponentially. Or is this the, not eliminate, but every batter starts 1-1? Is basically what you're saying. Every batter starts 1-1. I don't need any rules changed. Everybody still gets three strikes or four balls before you go to first base. I don't like that an awful lot. And honestly, I'm not worried about a salary cap. I need a salary basement. You have to spend X amount of dollars to be a major league team. Baseball almost needs like relegation, the way the EPL has it.
It needs a lot, Damon. There's so many ways we can go here. It needs a lot. People are just not interested like they used to be.
And here's what you don't need. Here's what never helps. Cheapskate owners. Cheapskates. Cheapskates are never the answer. If you want answers, you need to turn your attention to the Montgomery Biscuits. Anytime a minor league promotion makes the internet go, wait a minute, that's not fair, it's probably a good idea. How about this? The Montgomery Biscuits, looking to have themselves a good attendance on Saturday, July 21st, same day the A's are opening up Mount Davis. The Montgomery Biscuits are having Millennial Night at their ballpark.
Okay, what does this consist of?
Millennial Night at the minor league ballpark, Riverwalk Stadium, Saturday, July 21st, is Millennial Night. You get a participation ribbon just for showing up. They'll be offering napping and selfie stations. They'll also be offering avocado toast.
Wow, I do love some avocado toast.
As a special treat for the night.
That's funny.
I believe that they're going to have safe spaces throughout the ballpark.
This is hilarious.
And needless to say, because nobody's got a sense of humor. You got people very, very offended.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
People need to calm down.
Some of the Twitter responses were great. Saying, hey, how about a baby boomer night? When old people leave in the seventh inning stretch, we burn down the entire field. Proceeds from millennial night will go on to pay for the damage. All damage caused by boomers will be blamed on millennial night, which is only held because millennials are killing Buffalo Wild Wings and won't get married. Again, this is why you never want to mess with millennials on the Twitters. You can't beat a millennial on the Twitter. You're going to lose.
They grew up with the Twitters. That's true.
A lot of good, funny, pithy responses. All, I'm sure, typed from the den of their mom and dad's house where they still live.
This is hilarious.
I love that. The Montgomery Biscuits Millennial Night. Whoever came up with that gets a gold star next week.
Just go work for MLB.
One of the things that we highlighted last week is a story that Todd Gurley had where he's basically saying, you know, these NFL players, one after another, look at NBA contracts and we are pissed off. We are jealous. We're crazy jelly. Not only do you not play a game that might lend you to full body casts every single time you go out and ply your trade, but you'll probably be able to walk away from your game with the ability to do just about everything everyone else can do in their healthy 80s, and your mind won't be mush.
Right.
So there's a lot of jealousy in the NFL about NBA contracts. And then you start looking at what Kawhi Leonard is passing up, and you just got to say to yourself, that is some serious God money you're leaving on the table. Kawhi Leonard must really hate the San Antonio Spurs. Really hate the San Antonio Spurs. You realize San Antonio can now officially offer Kawhi Leonard the max, super max 5-year contract that would pay him roughly $219 million. And you keep more of that in the state of Texas than you do anywhere. Anywhere. That potential deal goes away the moment that he's traded. And again, this guy's demanding to be traded. As noted by Bobby Marks of ESPN, Leonard will not be eligible to sign an extension with his new team, provided that he is traded for at least 6 months. And at that point, his new team can offer him a 4-year extension worth just $108 million. Now, if you are turning down a $219 million contract, basically, after taxes, you're turning down $108 million.
Yeah. Ooh.
The next deal that he can sign is going to max out at $108 million. So that means you're really taking home 54.
Right.
And if it's in the state of California, you take 13% off that, Chief Rocca. You know what I mean?
You're taking a lot less than 54 at that point.
Oh, much less. The numbers are vastly different.
You can't put a dollar amount on happiness, apparently. Like, he is not happy there.
It's
crazy.
You got to be telling me that there's somebody breaking into his locker every night he's out playing a game, and he's like, he's missing, you know, he's coming back from every single game and there's $40 missing in his locker. I mean,
something.
God, this can't be about a hamstring.
Or do you kind of give him a little bit of credit because it doesn't matter how much it is? He wants to be in a situation that he feels is best for him. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
The way that he's played this whole thing has just been oddball from the very get-go. And the only way it made any sense at all is if you operated from the notion that he just wants out no matter what. Why would you want out no matter what? This cannot be about, I didn't like the way they diagnosed my hamstring.
There's more to it.
There's so much more to it. There's stuff that we don't even know.
That's a lot of money.
It's an extension. You'd be crazy. It's just, you know, you see that Jimmy Butler's turning down a $110 million extension?
Yep.
You must really not like Tom Thibodeau. saw a very interesting article today about how Brian Windhorst covering LeBron has been, you know, the break of his entire career for ESPN. We know who Brian Windhorst is because he was the first guy covering LeBron when LeBron was still in high school at Mount, St. Vincent St. Mary's? Mm-hmm. This guy has certainly seen his career boom in the LeBron phenomenon that is all going on. And he was given an interview basically saying that I don't want to be just the LeBron guy, but being the LeBron guy has been pretty darn good to me. And that because just the way media is now, like even though he was 99% sure he was going to be a Laker, he had to curb everything at 51% because it's just so many people are looking to jump down your throat should you ever be wrong about anything. Right. And he's so dialed in. And there's the very nature of we don't want to just give you the news. We want to create a story. And in the creation of a story, you have to keep coming back for us over and over again. If you've got the end to the where does LeBron go story on Monday, but we're really not going to know the decision until Friday, well, you're hurting the network's ability to sell the story Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if you just give up the goods on a Monday. And this makes me hate the media so much.
But that's what they, I mean, they need that desire, that anticipation for people to come back and back and back. And back and back and back.
Sure. But if you got the goods, give it to us. If you got the skinny, give it to me. Really interesting how he and LeBron are, you know, they talk not as much as they used to. Definitely about, you know, LeBron must be looking at Brian Windhorst going, well, you've used me to become who you are.
I mean, that was bound to happen, though, right? I mean, because, well, I don't know, maybe the relationship could have stayed, but it's kind of hard to be the media and have that information.
Here's the deal.
You know, and if it's at your friend, it's not, you know, it's a hard line to cross.
The truth is you cannot be anything more than polite and friendly with the people that you cover. You cannot be true friends.
Exactly.
You cannot be true friends with anyone that you cover and really do a good job. You just can't.
No, because you're going to have some very personal opinions. Right. It's going to be biased, so. It's not going to always work.
There's going to be a moment where you're going to have to offer a level of criticism that would make a friendship uncomfortable if you're good at what you do, and you have to be able to pull that lever should it be there. You know, there was a big movement, and we got to get all these jerks and a-holes out of the media, and there's a lot of cynical people that do need to just exit stage left. You are just clickbaity, you know, sky is falling seller at all times. Damon, didn't they both go to the same high school too? Yeah. Windhorst went to St. Vincent St. Mary's. That's how he
had the connection.
Had the connection with LeBron, yeah. It's just crazy. Just crazy to see what this has all become. I remember what sports was when I started covering them back in 2005, and here we are in 2018, and it's like we're speaking a different language.
It's different now.
It's a completely different language with so many different things that you got to be paying attention to at all time and a level of criticism that nobody really expected. If you get things right, if you get things wrong, it doesn't matter. We just live in a world where people endlessly complain about whatever is in front of them because that's the only way they're happy. So how do you use social media for good? How do you use social media for the just, for the right? Well, we now turn our attention to the band Weezer to find the way. This is a pretty good story, and the only reason why I'm going to read it to you is because I actually found it on a sports website that it was written about by our old boss.
I saw it there as well.
Jason Barrett. Always looking for angles about how to teach little lessons, and I guarantee you that this is a lesson that he would have liked to teach me because I really don't like doing the social media very much.
I know.
Gianna?
Drives me crazy.
But I love you for it, and you know what? Maybe I'll be a little bit more cooperative after this because here's a really interesting story. Social media at times can make you feel like you're swimming in a sewer, but when the space is used properly, it can make an incredible impact for a brand or its followers. Have you ever heard of Mary Klein? Mary Klein is a teenage girl from Ohio who, like most kids, loves music, loves social media. Her favorite band is Weezer. Hey, if you're a 14-year-old kid from Ohio and your favorite band is Weezer, you're probably a pretty cool kid, right? Still, though, to let you know that she's just a little bit more of an older soul than Lake and Weezer would label her, as her favorite song was Africa by the 80s band Toto.
That's awesome.
And I had no idea that this is how we got this recent cover until I read this. And this is fascinating to me. Fascinating to me. In late 2017, Mary took to Twitter to ask Weezer to consider covering her favorite song. She even created a Twitter account, at Weezer Africa. She used the hashtag Weezer Cover Africa. Each day, she'd send a tweet promoting the idea, thinking she's just having a little fun with it. There's like no way the band would ever really respond to this. She kept it up. Persistence in life matters, boys and girls, because Weezer frontman guitarist Rivers Cuomo started liking these tweets.
That's cool.
He started liking responses from other fans about it. But there's a big difference between being nice on social media and then like actually going to record a song and releasing it. There's a big difference. So media outlets apparently took up Mary's social media push because, I don't know, slow news week. We love writing about these things. If the media loves covering the media, social media must love covering social media. So social media is very, very proud of itself, and Vice even did a story about it, about the teenager's determination to have the band cover her favorite song. It even reached the original band Toto. Their keyboardist heard about it, linked a story to it on Facebook, and then linked the story to the guys in Weezer. Because band members know all other band members, I guess. And then this is where Weezer got brilliant. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
In what can only be described as an ultimate troll move, Weezer did release a Toto cover on May 24th, except it wasn't Africa. It was the band's other big hit, Rosanna.
Good song.
Hold you tight, Rosanna, Rosanna. That song.
Yeah, we know that song.
You know that song's about Rosanna Arquette?
Yes, I do. She's like a couple songs written after her.
She must have the sunshine.
And fellas, lollipops.
You know sunshine what I mean. Lollipops. Yeah, sunshine and lollipops. So that song, Rosanna, clued Mary in that, like, Weezer's receiving message. You're telling me that Weezer just decided to record randomly Rosanna by Toto?
Toto, yeah.
No. They were setting her up, setting us all up, and finally, 5 days later, what do you know? It's happening. It's honestly one of the most dedicated covers I've ever heard. Song that we all voted on we liked a long time ago. The real big difference is the snare drum on the one. The drum beat is not as heavy in Toto's original version. It's not as drum heavy.
Okay.
It's more mysterious and active. Like,
a little twist on it.
Yeah. But it's a straight-up legit cover. Like, we're a band playing tonight, and we're just covering band. We're just covering hits.
That's pretty cool.
And the fact that they did it all over a social media campaign, it's pretty good. Go ahead, Gianna. You want to say?
I can't help it. I love this song.
Yay.
It's a legit cover.
It is. It's good. They sound good. And it's like topping the charts.
So, Gianna, here's the lesson. Here's the lesson that your host needs to learn. Are you ready?
Yes.
Since releasing this song, Weezer is now more popular than ever, thanks to this 14-year-old girl in Ohio. Their social media has exploded to the point where this song and video have already amassed over 6 million views. They contained an image of the girl, so she's now more famous than she ever planned on being.
That's cool.
Media outlets jumped all over the story. She's enjoying her 15 minutes of fame, and they are number one right now on iTunes sales.
Look at that.
They're number eight on the Billboard Hot Rock chart. They're number eight on the U.S. trending chart. It's their biggest hit since 2009.
All from a 14-year-old little girl.
Biggest hit since 2009.
That's cool. See, Damon? Aw, it's over.
So does this mean I have to go on Facebook more? I hope not. I hate Facebook. I hate the Facebook.
No, you don't hate the Facebook. You don't hate the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, none of it. You need to embrace it and love it, and the podcasting, all of the above. If any, I bug you about this constantly. It is our battle.
You bother me more about it than anyone else at the station.
Well, you know what? Because I care. And I feel like, you know, that's the next level. That is the next step of not just, it's our industry. That's the next step.
I want you to know it's going to take a lot to take me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do.
I bless the rains down from Africa.
Thank you
very
much.
Help? Can we get some rains down from Africa? Or some wild dogs crying out in the night.
But I honestly, I had no idea that the story was anything more than Weezer decided to cover Africa.
I didn't realize there was a backstory to it.
I had no idea there was a back channel and it was all someone else's idea.
And just the whose idea, the young girl. I mean, that's very, and it's cool that Weezer did that. That they connected and reached out with fans on social media. I mean, we all kind of have a love-hate with it. I get it. There's good and bad, but it can do wonderful things.
It is pretty cool. It is cool when you see it work in the right way. We all see it work in the wrong way so many times.
That's cool.
Yeah, it really is. Like, here's how you know social media is wasting your time. When you have breathlessly anxious Giants fans worrying about Mark Canna's bat flip. Like, seriously? That's what kept you up this weekend? Today's the day Vladimir truly became president, but that Mark Canna bat flip just keeping you up at night?
Swung on and hammered to deep left. Mark Canna knows. Out it goes into the night. Off the bench for Mark Canna. And the A's are in front 4-3 on a mammoth home run against Tony Watson. It was worth admiring. Mark took a look. He looked at his dugout. He enjoys the jog around the bases, and the Athletics have a 4-3 lead on his 12th home run of the year.
I mean, it's like Vince is almost warning him, like, oh, stop looking in the Giants' dugout. You're going to get a code red. Oh, my God. Mark Canna, how dare he enjoy this moment? Madison Bumgarner is probably whittling his shiv right now.
But you need that. You need that little flair, a little flash in baseball. I loved it. I love that.
Totally. It's what baseball needs. Baseball needs fun. Baseball needs a young kid going, that's cool. When's the last time a 12-year-old kid was at a baseball game going, I love this. Everything about it. Sitting here for at least 25 minutes in between balls put in play. Can't get enough. Dad, this is awesome. Will you bring me back tomorrow so I can sit, you know, 25th row, $85. Mm-hmm. You can drink $19 beers. Let's go to Zach in Alameda. Zach, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, bringing up Weezer, I remember in 1997, they had a free concert for Weezer. It was on the radio. They said, get over to Tower Records in the parking lot because that's where that Rivers guy used to work when he was younger at Tower Records. And, you know, so you're in the parking lot, a bunch of kids watching Weezer, and they let you run across the stage. I mean, what other band lets you run across the stage?
That's pretty good. Hey, Zach, I feel like if we're going to go ahead and talk about a Tower Records, we need to explain to a large portion of the audience what that actually was. when's the last time anyone bought a record at a record store? What do you bet I'm the only person who works at this radio station who bought a record at a record store? Maybe you, Grandma, but that's about
Grandma,
it.
Grandma, thank you. I knew what a Tower Records was, though. Isn't there, I mean, there's still, And there's still a record place here in the city.
Amoeba.
Amoeba, yeah.
Amoeba's a great record store. I'm not allowed in there.
You're not?
Not without at least $200.
Oh, wow.
I don't go in there. I cut myself off.
Did you just call me grandma? Yes, you did.
I'm just saying that you're in my age demographic to where you might have heard these things. You understand what it's like to not know what's happening everywhere in the world at once because all the information on the planet's in your pocket.
I ain't gonna lie, this is true.
Things were simpler.
They were.
Back then.
I didn't realize Weezer was that old. I mean, I'm not calling them old, but I didn't realize they formed that long ago.
Yeah, we're all old.
Speak for yourself, Grandpa.
We're all old. We didn't realize we were that old. And then I checked my driver's license, and it was like, God, that happened fast and out of nowhere. 888-957-9570 is the number. You know what's also going to happen fast and out of nowhere? The 6 o'clock hour. It's going to be coming up in just a minute. We got Robert Latall to join us for the latest what's going on. And speaking of a better, more easy-to-live-in society, what we need is a little bit more etiquette in this world. And you know what? 6:30, you know what I got for you? Etiquette. Do you hear that?
I heard it. I felt it.
Excuse me while I whip this out. Etiquette. This is an 872-page book about etiquette. America is certainly lacking. This program at times is certainly lacking. So we will get into proper all-star etiquette for the all-star game in the Home Run Derby, which, by the way, is going on. Schwarby already hit. Right now, we got Baez up there. We'll give you a little Home Run Derby update when we come on back here to the Damon Bruce Show.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.